Good morning and welcome to Conti's Law. I'm your host, Attorney Michelle Conti, your legal concierge. At Conti Law, we focus on estate planning, estate administration, tax planning, and elder law. And I'm going to provide you with our contact information now as well as later on in the show. I am getting feedback that I'm not giving you our telephone number and website often enough. So I'll start today's show off with our telephone number at 724-784-0239. Our website is www.contilawpgh.com, contilawpgh.com. Our office is located in Moon Township by the airport. But if you can't travel to us, that's okay. We can travel to you. We offer complimentary consultations in office and at home or at the hospital or facility, whatever makes your life easier. So there's our information. I gave it out. Write it down. I'll say it a couple more times throughout the show. But thank you for tuning in. Today we're going to talk about the different types of trusts. We're going to talk about a revocable living trust, why you may or may not want to use a revocable trust. So what is a trust? And I'm going to water it down. A trust is basically a contract between three different parties. The party creating it, that's the grantor or the settlor. The party in charge, that's the trustee. And the people or person who's going to inherit your stuff in that trust when you pass, that's the beneficiary. A revocable trust is often seen as a more flexible tool because you can change it. It's revocable. You can amend it. You can revoke it. You can terminate it. Maybe you no longer want it. Maybe you don't speak with the people who you've named in that document as your successor trustees. Maybe your beneficiaries have changed. So we can go ahead and amend that as often as necessary. But why do people like revocable trusts? I'm going to tell you why I like them. It's because you have control. Necessarily, you have control from the grave. Once you've passed, your wishes must be seen to. I like that it's flexible. I like that it's amendable. I like that we can change it as much as you want. Really, and why I use one is because my kids are little and I don't know how they're going to turn out. What if, God forbid, I pass away and they haven't become the adults that they will be, so I can see if they're good with money, if they're making good choices. God forbid they have some form of addiction. We see this all the time. The opioid epidemic is devastating. It doesn't discriminate. It doesn't discriminate on age. It doesn't discriminate on race. It doesn't discriminate on wealth, religion, your political views. It has nothing to do with that. I've seen kids of some of the most affluent people here in Pittsburgh battle with opioid addiction. Doesn't matter, rich or poor, black or white, Catholic, atheist, doesn't matter. So those are things to keep in mind. I won't know what my kids are like if I, God forbid, pass away before they become adults. It's like you're gambling. And I hate to compare it to this. But being that I don't know, I want to make sure that I'm protecting what I've worked so hard for to go to those kids and they won't blow it. I want it to be preserved. I want it to be there for their future. Another reason you may want to consider a revocable trust is for efficiency. is for ease upon your passing or even incapacity for your fiduciary, your successor trustee, the person you're naming to be in charge when you cannot be in charge. If you're fortunate enough to own property in more than one state, which a lot of my clients do, whether it be a rental property, a vacation home, because they inherit it from their family or from their loved one. If you have property in more than one state, the revocable trust is amazing. It's an amazing tool that eliminates the need for an ancillary probation in each state. So let's say my parents have a house here in Pennsylvania, have a house in Florida, North Carolina, California, you pick it. If they have a trust in place and they pass away, I won't have to probate their estate in multiple states. I won't have to open an estate in Pennsylvania and then open an ancillary estate to administer that property in Florida or North Carolina or California. It's a wonderful tool that'll help make that settlement process more concise, quicker, and easier for whomever you have chosen to settle your estate upon your death. The real reason a lot of people consider a revocable trust, however, is to avoid probate. It could be due to they want to cut costs for their loved ones when they pass. They don't want their estate to go through probate and take a year and a half, 2 years after they're gone. Costs and time usually are what's on everybody's mind. What about privacy? It doesn't matter how much money you have. Maybe you don't want your nosy neighbor to know that you left your money to a charity, to your kids, to a niece or a nephew, to another neighbor. So we can keep your estate private. Your estate isn't published or publicized. Another reason, and we'll get into whether or not the revocable trust or testamentary trust were two different things, if they make sense. So a revocable trust can be used to protect your beneficiary's inheritance. Now, me as the grantor, the creator of that trust, maybe I'm worried that my kids will have issues with creditors, issues with drug abuse, issues with gambling, issues with marital problems. I can use this trust to protect their interest in case of a divorce, in case of a lawsuit. Now, again, I'm hoping these things don't ever occur. But if you can protect from an unknown future event, why wouldn't you? Now, let's be honest. I have people who come in and say, look, I've taken care of my kids or my grandkids, whoever your beneficiary is, for their whole life. I don't care what happens when I die. And that is okay too. But if you do care, if you do want to preserve as much as what you worked for your whole life for them, why wouldn't you? There are amazing tools that we can put in place to use as those vehicles to avoid some of these unnecessary steps. You must be aware, however, by creating and using a revocable trust, let's say me, I'm creating this trust, it's going to do absolutely zero, nothing to protect my assets during my lifetime, to shelter assets from a creditor, from a lawsuit, from a liability. Its job is not to protect and to preserve my stuff during my lifetime. Its job is to protect and to preserve for my beneficiary's lifetime. That's upon my death. So there's different reasons why we would utilize a revocable trust. And when my clients come in already having a trust, we'll do a complimentary review of their document. And if you remember last week, I said, because the laws often change, if you have an estate plan in place, it makes sense. Pull the binder out, dust off the cover. Let's look at it and see if it's still applicable to you. One recent client who I spoke with several years ago, probably at least 5 years ago, and now they came back and said, we're ready to move forward. And I needed them to refresh my memory on what they had. And they each have revocable trusts. Each spouse has their own individual trust. And my first question was, well, what's in them? What do you have in each trust? It doesn't matter if you each have a trust, if you have a joint trust. What has been transferred? What asset is owned by that trust? And the look of perplexity on my clients' faces when I ask this question, and they usually say, I don't know, whatever the attorney put in there. Well, I'm going to be honest with you, that's not a good enough answer. I need to know, has your property been funded into your trust? You would have had to sign a new deed. Have your bank accounts been funded into your trust? We would have had to complete each institution's transfer paperwork. Maybe you want your beneficiaries to be the trust because you like the way that your trust is drafted, and when your beneficiaries receive their inheritance. Have the beneficiary change of beneficiary forms been completed? Have they been submitted to those companies? These are all things we should discuss that you should be aware of. And oftentimes you're not. Before I delve into the next segment, if this afflicts you, if you have questions or concerns, or if you don't know what's been put into your trust, that's a question I'll get. Well, how do I know? You would have had to sign something. Give us a call. Our number is 724-784-0239. We're here to assist you, educate you, hold your hand, and make sure that all of your goals are met. You can shoot us an email, head to our website, www.contilawpgh.com. You can always go online and fill out our form, and it'll come straight to us, and we'll get in touch with you to set something up. Phone call, office visit, home visit. But let's make sure your wishes are seen to, and that if you have already taken the first step in having a trust created or a will created, let's make sure that that trust is actually doing its job. But in order for the trust to do its job, we need to make sure the trust has something. It owns something. The number one asset I fund into the trust from the beginning is your property, is a residence. We need to make sure that deed transfer was filed with the county in the state that you hold the property. So making sure that the assets that should be designated into the trust have been designated is crucial, because otherwise you just have an empty shell of a document that, even though it's put into place, what if nothing's in it? If nothing's in that trust, then you wasted a lot of time and money creating it, because your will is going to supersede it if nothing's in it. So making sure that the assets are transferred is crucial. These trusts are created while we're still alive. Your assets are not automatically transferred into the trust. We have to do the legwork. We have to do the paperwork. We do that for you. People ask, well, what do I do? How do I know what to do? I don't expect you to know what to do. Quite frankly, that's our job. Let us make your life easier. So that responsibility comes down to us. We'd prepare a new deed to make sure your real estate is funded into the trust. We would retitle the ownership of your accounts. Now, not all of your accounts will go into that trust, but some of them will. So we would retitle the ownership to put them in the name of your trust. We would change your beneficiaries to make sure that those accounts you do not want to go outright to somebody and you want them to be funded into your trust at your death do. We've seen many reasons. We've seen many instances, I should say, where another law firm, another attorney drafted your trust, but didn't transfer the assets into that trust. And the failure to transfer assets resulted in a complete devastation of what your original plan was. You have to beware. I'll give you a perfect example. We do a ton of special needs planning. Whether it be a third-party supplemental trust, a first-party trust, whether the beneficiary has Down syndrome and a beneficiary has Alzheimer's, it doesn't matter. I've seen plans implode because the next step wasn't taken. So when I review that, I'm going to ask the same questions. What's been put into your trust? What's been funded? Have your beneficiaries been changed? Here's a perfect example. We have a trust, we have a will, whatever document we're using, then make sure Johnny's share of his money, his inheritance, goes into a third-party trust so that his benefits will continue upon this inheritance. That's great for what's in your trust. If you don't take into consideration Johnny's share of your life insurance, Johnny's share of your 401k IRA, investment. Now let me back up and say, we want to make sure he gets his share. We don't want him disinherited. That's not the point. We want to make sure he gets what you want him to get and take advantage of the governmental benefits at the same time. Let's get your cake and eat it too. If we don't update those beneficiary designations to hold true to Johnny's third party supplemental special needs trust, and we leave it to him outright, no matter how much work we did in your will, in your trust, by creating a third-party trust, if we don't have the correct beneficiary designation on those policies, he may lose his benefits when he receives that inheritance. He may have to create a different type of special needs trust upon your passing just because we didn't update the beneficiaries. So rather than his share going into the third-party trust, allowing him to continue to receive benefits, if we didn't do that, and he receives an inheritance outright, and he's receiving some form, medical assistance, Social Security, Medicaid, he's going to have to get that inheritance out of his name within the first month of receiving it, put it into an approved special needs trust so he can continue to receive his benefits. And then upon his death, anything left in that trust will go back to the state of Pennsylvania as the primary beneficiary because they're the creditor if he's receiving benefits. So there's a lot that goes into it. We just need to make sure all of our I's are dotted and T's are crossed. I'm not here to scare you, but these things happen because we're not thinking of everything. We're not, just because we're updating our will doesn't mean we've updated our non-probatable assets and their beneficiary designations. That's really important. Another important topic, and I may not get to all of the examples today, but is a testamentary trust. What the heck is a testamentary trust? Well, a testamentary trust is different from a revocable trust. Remember, the revocable trust is a contract, so to speak, between the grantor, the person who's creating it, the trustee, the person who's managing it, and the beneficiary, the person or people who benefit from the trust when you die. The testamentary trust instead is created upon your passing. So upon the grantor's passing. The terms of that trust, as well as who will serve as the trustee or beneficiary, are contained in your will. So let's say I die, I have my will created that says, upon my death, this chunk will go into this remainder trust, testamentary trust for my kids. And Susie will act as the trustee. Zach and Zoe are the beneficiaries. Keep in mind, this testamentary trust that's created upon my death by terms drafted in my will is irrevocable. And this testamentary trust will just outline the management of my terms of that trust and describe when my kids' trust will terminate. There are many reasons why you may or may not want to create a testamentary trust, but one of the most common ones is, like I've been saying, my kids are minors. They're four. I want to make sure that they don't receive a lump sum, that they don't receive a direct distribution at the age of 18 or 21. Now, my opinion may differ from yours. I've had clients who come in who say, my kid is very responsible at the age of 15. When they turn 18 or 21, they should get it outright in the event that I die. What works for you may not work for everybody else. So a testamentary trust, in my example, works well for my kids, because they're minors. I don't know how mature they'll be if I pass away suddenly or unexpected. And quite frankly, I don't want them to get a large amount of money or assets directly upon my death. So this testamentary trust will allow me to name a successor trustee. To name a trustee of their trust, to manage the assets, to manage the money, and make distributions of those assets at a specified time that I say, so I can control from the grave. Maybe I want them to get an outright distribution at different ages. And I've used my own documents as examples in the past. We're under my will. I have a testamentary trust created for each child. They'll get a third of what's accumulated at the age of 30, a third at 35, and a third at 40. And in the interim, my trustee can manage that money, invest it, even invade the principal to make distributions. Maybe they have educational bills that need paid. Maybe they have health issues. They get their bills. I don't want them living under a bridge. I want to make sure that their rent or their mortgage is paid, or that they have a suitable down payment for a house. These are all things we can control by having a testamentary trust built into our will. Don't forget, just like our estate plan we discussed last week, it will need updated. As circumstances change, we need to make sure our documents are changing. I could go into a whole nother show, which I will next week, continuing whether or not a testamentary trust, a revocable trust, an irrevocable trust, or just a will works for us, works for each instance. Maybe a revocable trust isn't necessary now, but a testamentary trust for our kids is. These were all things to consider. And I'll continue this conversation next week. Please tune in. In the meantime, I hope you have a great weekend, everybody. And thank you for tuning in to Conti's Law. I'm your host, Attorney Michelle Conti. Any questions or concerns that you have, feel free to give us a call. We offer complimentary in-office or in-home consultations. Our telephone number is 724-784-0239, contilawpgh.com. Thank you and God bless.